Welcome to the Chris Ramey Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. It is the Wednesday, March 31st, 2021 edition of the program. Happy to be talking some football today, believe it or not. A little spring ball in St. Louis. Also, whip around the PGA Tour as we get set for the Masters next week. The Cardinals and Major League Baseball will get started tomorrow. So we'll have plenty of baseball talk over the next couple of days. Everything's going on. We're getting right in the middle of that sweet spot. March Madness as well, the NHL and NBA headed towards the postseason. So lots of fun, and hope everyone is not only enjoying the return of everything at once in the sports world, but also hopefully not feeling like you have to enjoy it a certain amount. Does that make sense? Like yesterday, Chris Ranji, great conversation, by the way, if I may say so myself, join me on the show. You can check out the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Scoops with Danny Mac is the show. Leave a review. Send me a screenshot on Twitter at CHRABE. And, you know, it feels like there are some, like, sports shamers. If you are not just loving, just can't get enough of March Madness, like, I think that's okay. I think that there was so much buildup, so much hype that this was, you know, going to be the greatest thing ever. The tournament's back after we didn't have it last year. Well, yeah, but, you know, to this point, we've had so many sports, really, starting with the return of the PGA Tour last year, then the NBA and the NHL, and then football and, you know, baseball as well. Like, that we kind of know the drill. And part of what makes March Madness obviously crazy is, and so much fun, is A, the fans in the buildings, but B, the communal aspect of it. The fact that you're going out to watch the game with people, or you're having people over, you're meeting people. And I just, you know, when you take that out of the mix, I just feel this year like it's just a dud. So, I don't know. Probably has a lot to do with the area schools as well being duds as far as postseason play. But again, an exciting time. And I'm here for you on the Chris Ramey Show. All right. DeQuincy Howard and Will Franklin, former Missouri Tigers who played for Gary Pinkle. Part of those great teams, obviously, when I was at Mizzou. Will, drafted by the Chiefs. DeQuincy has done some incredible things in St. Louis, working as a police officer, and they're now both head coaches at local high schools. DeQuincy is the head coach at Roosevelt, and Will Franklin is the head coach at Vashon. They will suit up and go at it on Saturday. Those two teams playing over at Gateway, so the two teammates are now coaching against each other. And we'll visit with DQ and Will coming up here in just a moment. Then we're going to talk a little golf. Rick Gaiman from rickrungood.com going to be with me. rickrungood.com is the website. That's where you go. Tomorrow, excited for our Cardinals preview extravaganza. Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, is one of the great sponsors of the program and Scoops with DannyMac.com. And right now is a perfect time to learn about a home loan refinance. You hear the word all the time, but maybe you don't even know what you're doing. Essentially, you're redoing your loan. So in terms of your first mortgage, you're retooling your loan. The home loan expert is paying off your current loan and giving you a brand new loan. You can decide the term, 30 years. You can go shorter. Give them a call. Look at your current mortgage and ask the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly, if they can do anything to improve your situation. It all depends on your goal, and they will work with you. But everyone with a mortgage loan can benefit from calling Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, today for a free mortgage analysis. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com, thehomeloanexpert.com. Learn about not just the incredible loan offers that they have, but also the incredible customer service, their customer-first approach that separates them from anyone else you could get a mortgage through. Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert online at thehomeloanexpert.com. All right, as I mentioned, Quincy Howard is the head football coach at Roosevelt. Will Franklin is the head football coach at Vashon. They are both Missouri Tigers, and they are taking each other on Saturday at Gateway. It is Vashon and Roosevelt. DQ and Will join us on the Chris Raby Show. What's going on, fellas? How has it felt to play football in spring in St. Louis?
Want to answer the first, DQ?
Yeah, I'll go for it. It's been okay. It's been a challenge. It's also been a learning experience for myself. So, I wouldn't change nothing for the world for it.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely been a challenge just to really get the guys to understand the importance of what spring ball really is. You know, we had the opportunity to experience that when we were in college at Mizzou. So we kind of got an idea of what it is. But the state of Missouri, this is new to everyone around, let alone the kids. So, you know, just trying to get everybody accustomed to what it really is and what's important and what do you need to take from spring ball to build on to your season.
It's a learning experience, right, guys? And I imagine for both of you and for – you know, a lot of coaches, a lot of educators around St. Louis, it's a learning experience in a completely new environment because things have obviously completely changed. And, you know, DQ, we talked when you were ramping things up last year, right at the start of the pandemic, I think, and getting ready to go. If you could have given yourself last year at this time, as you were getting ready to take on this role, one piece of advice, not knowing what was coming the next 12 months, what would you tell yourself looking back?
Being patient. This is my first time coaching. And, I had to understand that every kid doesn't have the same skill set. And, from the generation where I'm from, you know, down in Texas, we take football seriously. Here in Missouri high school, you know, a lot of kids have different situations. You know, some have to work. And a lot of my kids work, so it's one of those things that, you know, you have to plug and play on the go. And that's pretty much one of the things that I took with me.
You know, and Will, with your experiences from the NFL to, you know, being part of staff at Mizzou to now coaching at Vashon, how have all of the different experiences, all of the different staffs that have coached you help you coach during, again, just a time when there is no, you know, instruction manual for how to coach when things are like they are right now?
Yeah, it's something that Coach Pink would always say, and I use it a lot. It's crazy. It's a lot of things that you use that, you know, back then it's like, man, I'm so tired of hearing that talk, but distraction control. And with all these things that I've learned over the years that has helped me with this year of pandemic, going to my second year as head coach at Vashon, which I'm still learning how to be a head coach. He hit it on the head with just being patient with everything. One thing I took over the years from my playing experience and coaching and being on staff at Mizzou is you got to have patience with when you're trying to develop a culture. And not only develop a culture, like he said, getting kids to buy into committing themselves into a sport. We're dealing with kids that are working and their jobs that they're working, their family depends on that check, you know what I mean? So it's hard to really tell a kid, you know, like, skip practice when, you know, I'm not paying the bills at home, you know what I mean? So when Coach Howard just said, you know, just being patient with everything, that's one thing that I can say. Numerous of coaches at Mizzou and some around the country that I spoke with when I was taking a job and congratulate me, that's one of the key words that they were saying about the whole process is be patient with it. You know, we are true athletes, so we really want to come right now because we know what it takes and we know how to work to get there. And again, just trying to get the kids to really understand what it is to really commit yourself to something. You know what I mean? And I don't care what it is, just see what the results are when you commit to something. So I would say patience and being able to control the things you can control when you're faced with adversity, you know what I mean, different distractions.
And DQ, I like that. Do you make Will call you Coach Howard? You know, it's funny, though, like you say patience And as a player, as a young player, the reward is that game, right? And you guys had months and months and months without that reward. How did you keep them motivated?
You go ahead, D.
Either one of you, because it's tough. It's like you practice and practice and practice and practice. And at some point, I give the kids credit, man. I think the reason things are moving along is because young people are following all the rules so well.
I think that, especially for us, I know Will and them, they're 1-0, Coach Franklin. We 0-2 right now. But, those two games that we could have easily won, minimal. Now that we on a downhill, to keep the kids engaged into the program, I gotta keep practice somewhat entertaining. Mondays come in after practice, we have pizza or something, just keep them engaged, little things like that. Certain games we play during practice to keep them engaged, just to keep the sport fun, let them know it's not all about winning. But we also want to, have a great, finish out strong, have a great culture around here within the program. Because again, this is spring football. We're going to be right back into this in a couple months.
I imagine too, you guys also have athletes that are, normally would be participating in other spring sports. So there's got to be a lot of teamwork, I'm sure, within different coaches. And, for the student athletes, they're balancing a ton, because you mentioned the work and the schoolwork they'd have, even if it was a normal circumstance right now, but it kind of takes everyone being willing to make sacrifices, I guess. Right, Will?
Yes, you're correct, man. That when we were told back in August that we couldn't really, that we couldn't work out, man, it was months, just to be able to start working out in January when we was able to, I don't know how many team calls we were having a week just to allow me to see the guy's face. I know DQ was going through the same thing. You want to be able to just see your guys. Like I said, we deal with some kids with different circumstances. So just being able to lay eyes on them was a big thing for me. Also just trying to keep them ahead academically. I think everyone across America, when you're dealing with kids today and their world is now off what we're doing. Everything, Zoom calls, team calls, everything they're doing is no really social interactive, So it's hard, being a father and then being a coach and understanding that, like my kids are going through something that I never went through, I didn't have a problem socializing or making sure I cut the camera on or something, And now you got kids dealing with these things on top of just real life stuff, dealing with home, so being able to play this spring and be around the guys every day and just being able to lean on one another. That's one thing I continue to preach is, families fight, you argue, but the best families are tight-knitted. You don't allow outsiders in. You stay together. You lean on one another through tough times, and all of us are going through tough times. I don't care how well you think your life is going. The fact that I got to grab a mask every time I exit my vehicle and, we're all dealing with something different. So for me, I try to talk to them about the real life aspect and not so much about the sport right now. Because it is a blessing that they're doing what they're supposed to do, or we can't have a game this coming week, that there and telling the kid, hey, you got to stay home. Like, don't go hang out with your friends because your friends don't get COVID tested weekly. Their games are not, canceled if have a positive test. A lot you have to deal with right now.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Just from a scheduling standpoint, you guys like playing ball in the spring? I mean, I've heard from some coaches who say, and I think maybe one positive that could come out of this is everyone in high school athletics in St. Louis, talking, sharing ideas over the summer and into next fall and saying what worked, what didn't, but why not? Why not have some ball in the spring? It'd be a great thing.
I was a boy with, not to cut you off, Coach, I was a boy with it when they first proposed it, because I was looking at it from the standpoint of I thought the world would be completely back open. One, and I was like, if the world's completely back open, that is going to give kids like me, what me and the Q have, give them an opportunity to actually be evaluated and seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was instantly like, man, that'll give all the colleges a chance because that's when they're out on the road the most is in the spring. I'm like, man, that'll give everybody a chance to get and actually can sit and watch a practice versus you coming through and you asking for a transcript and spending an hour with a coach and trying to talk about 15, 20 kids at one time and then they off to the next school. You know what I mean? Maybe they can come in and spend an hour or two a day, you know what I mean, and actually watch a practice versus, you know what I mean, not being able to see a practice at all. You say you can't really evaluate a kid. So for me, it was all about, you know what I mean, like, yes, I'm with the spring. This could give our kids a chance to be seen. You know, we don't have the star power of some of the other schools around here when it comes to, so there's no schools that's just openly walking to the door. Now, granted, me and DQ have played college football, and we know a lot of guys that are playing, coaching college football. That's the benefit of us being at the schools that we're at, that we can help and give them resources that, you know what I mean, someone else might have been able to. But we know a lot of guys that are coaching college football right now. So that helps us deal with some of the guys that we have that want to play football but got to make a decision on if I'm going to play football for or go continue to get a check right now to provide for my family. So I was all for the spring. And just the development part, getting bigger, getting stronger, getting the IQ of football underneath your belt a little more. You know, you can gain some things in the spring that you normally can't do in the fall. So I love it. I wish we can keep it around.
Mm-hmm.
You're finding the same thing, DQ? And thank goodness, too, for technology and social media. I don't know what, you know, I would have been a wreck if I was in high school and this was happening, you know. And I mean, shoot, we weren't on Zoom or FaceTiming. Or I would have felt bad for my poor mother. I don't know how she would have dealt with me.
Yeah, because you get drove crazy. You're driving the family crazy.
Yeah. But DQ, you know, do you agree with Will as far as, you know, maybe this is something that is talked about. And maybe it's something that can benefit these kids long-term down the road.
I agree 100% with Will. I think that, I agree 100% with him. You know, if you look at it, St. Louis County is the only sports playing spring football right now. So that gives us the opportunity for coaches to come in and watch these guys during practice other than just coming in, like Coach Franklin stated, picking up a transcript, speaking to the student, and leaving. You know, now they can come in, pick the transcript, stay for about 20 to 30 minutes, watch this kid participate in practice, and go from there, evaluate them that way as well, that route as well. So I think it's huge, and I really hope that we can continue this in the near future.
So Saturday at noon, Roosevelt and Vashon at Gateway, right?
Yeah.
And do we have any chirping, any trash talking going on this week? Do we have a friendly wager on the line? It's got to be fun to get ready to compete against each other, right? Like after competing together for so long and both being a part of the coaching community, it's got to be fun when you get the chance to do that.
You know what? It's crazy because Vashon and Roosevelt always had some type of rivalry, you know, and I can't take it personally no more. You know what I mean? I'm like, shit, that's my brother over there. Like, you know, it's different. You know what I mean? I know from the school standpoint for the years, Roosevelt's been pretty good the last couple of years. You know what I mean? So they have hammered Vashon, you know what I mean, even last year. So it's always been, you know what I mean, a little tug of war. And at one point, it was a game that they played. It was for a ball or something that they used to have back in the day that they were trying to redo. Maybe we can do it all over again. But
the Pinkle Cup.
Right. But I tell you, you know what I mean, it's different when you know it's someone over there that cares just as much as you about the kids that you are dealing with. So the competitive edge is there. Yes, you know, we both want to go out there and win and our kids get better this spring so we can ultimately compete for what's really a state in the fall. But it's hard, man. It's just like, man, like, you know what I mean? I'm watching games up. I'm like, oh man, he got some stuff over there, dog. You know what I mean? It's like, I got to get ready because I see some of the stuff he's doing and I know it. I'm like, okay. Like,
DQ, you keeping a little something up your sleeve?
You know, just going out, you know, playing the game. I'm excited for this challenge, though. You know, Will, Coach Funky, they have a good program over there going. Like I said, they 1-0 right now. We 0-2. I'm 0-2, and, you know, we just looking to just go out and compete.
All right. I want to ask you guys, too, you mentioned, Will, like catching yourself, and I think we all do this. We catch ourselves like doing something that our parents or our coaches, something we used to roll our eyes at. Now we do it ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So I want you to give me an example. One thing as the media we used to call a pinkle was, you know, he'd do those weekly teleconferences or whatever, or an interview or something. At the end, you'd say, "All right, coach, thank you so much." And you just hear, "All right, click," and just the phone click, because it'd be on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the way it was. So yeah. Give me one thing that you find yourself, or I don't know, something specific and impact that you find yourself, maybe that you took from a coach or a teammate or someone that's been a big part of your football journey so far.
It's a few. I know from being underneath Herm, just the player relationship Herm had with us. That's what, you know, helped me right now with just dealing
it's
with
important
the situation.
Right now, man.
Yeah, it's very important. The relationship is important right now. And just like some of the things that Coach Pinkle did as far as the discipline, you know what I mean, and how you really create a culture. I know me and DQ was a part of those recruiting classes that helped change the culture of Mizzou. You know, when we got there, man, it was a talented roster, but it wasn't no true team camaraderie. And I seen just through the recruiting classes of us how it looked when I walked out of the door, DQ walked out of the door. We walked out as winners and bowl game appearances and things of that sort. But Coach Pinkle's discipline, Herm's relationship that he had with player, I would say Odom's just tenacity of just wanting to, you know what I mean, be physical, you know what I mean? It's something that he always preached when he was head coach at Mizzou. And you see his defense always plays well, just the physicality of the game. That, and then for me, just respecting what you're doing. You know what I mean? You got to respect the game of football in itself. As long as you respect that and you give what's required of it, which is your 100% effort, I think all those three things together, you know what I mean, it's something that I, as a coach, carry every day. You know what I mean? I stress discipline. You know, I'm dealing with inner-city kids like Coach Howard. They don't know what that looks like. You know what I mean? And when you hear discipline, you think behavior. You know what I mean? Discipline is just sitting here and allow yourself to be coached. You know what I mean? Or listening to someone that's giving you advice on something that can help improve your life. You know what I mean? So different definition of discipline helps, you know what I mean, me get what I need out of my kids and ultimately makes me look like a better coach when they perform with them.
DQ, and I'll leave you guys with this and let you get back to it. But, you know, I was there at Mizzou watching you boys, and you guys were, yeah, the ones that I think, not to disparage anyone, but you guys turned everything around, right? Like I was there from 04 to 08. So I watched you guys, and it's gotta be fun now as players and alums, you know, parts of that program who turned it around to watch what's a really exciting program right now, you know? And I think that if anything last year, everything you guys are saying about relationships and growing off the field, I thought it was a team that was getting better in all phases, almost every week. Is that what you guys saw? DQ, as you know, are in St. Louis now and are a part of the greater Missouri area, you're talking to people. Are you feeling some more excitement? Are you feeling the excitement that was there when you guys were there playing again?
Oh, man, I love Mizzou, and I love what's going on down there. I'm a big donor there every year. That just shows how much I love Mizzou. I think those guys they're working very hard. I believe that last year they had I would say it was a great year last year due to all the things that went on, you know, with the pandemic and everything. I think they still had I believe this year coming up, they will have an even better year. So, you know, I'm excited for the program and I'm grateful just for being a part of it and still being a part of it.
I thought you were going to say you're a big donor, which shows how much cash you've got. But, you know, Will, for fans who can't see it, how would you describe Coach Drink's presence around the St. Louis area? Like fans we can see the recruiting rankings and see who signs with who, but for fans who don't get a peek behind the curtain, just what's the simplest way to describe Mizzou's presence in the St. Louis area?
Man, it's overwhelming now, man. Cause it was one point, you know, where it was just bad blood between the St. Louis area and Columbia. And, you know, I did my best in opening that door up, and, you know, here we are. But, man, it's exciting to see just the Tiger tails on cars again, and, you know, signs on your license plates. It's exciting to see those things again. And actually, the community, like the entire community, is not divided anymore. It's all, hey, man, I like what Coach Drink is doing down there, man. And that there just speaks to a testament to who he is and the relationship he's trying to form with everyone. You know, everyone is seeing what he's doing there, giving him a chance. And that's all you ask for as a head coach. Just give me a chance to show you who I am and what I'm planning to do. And from the time he took the job until, you know, now, everyone is seeing, you know, I mean, he's one, a man of his word, but two, he's actually genuine relationships he built with these young men to give them to play the way that he had them playing. You know, you take away the first few games, you know what I mean, which were, you played the national champ to open the season up, you know what I mean, eventual national champ, you played them well. But again, to get them to play the way they were playing toward the end of the season and the run that they went on in the heart of the SEC, it speaks volumes to him and his staff and what they're doing. I look forward to this year. You know, I got some guys down there, you know what I mean? And one of my kids that I raised for a long time, I got him from Ohio State, and he's down there making some big noise. So I'm excited to see where the program is going to go moving forward with just him and him. And the support he's getting financially from the donors, man, wow. You know, that indoor facility is going to be built in no time.
Mm-hmm.
DQ is going to finish that thing off, I think.
No, well, I'm donating peanuts compared to everyone else.
I mean, hey, man, you know, I do what I can. If I can give, you know, 50 bucks, you know, that's what. But it's, yeah. It's about being a part of the community.
Right.
And
yeah.
You guys are showing that as well. So Saturday at noon, guys, I think that people around St. Louis just want to thank the coaches, the administrators, the teachers, all y'all who are making this thing work and
yes.
And giving all these kids a chance to get these experiences and not miss out on them. So best of luck on thank Saturday. You. Best of luck the rest of the spring, and we'll talk to you fellas soon. Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right.
All right.
Quick break. Rick Gaiman next. It's the Chris Raby Show on Scoops at DannyMac.com. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Time to get involved. If you have a business, if you have a cause, if you have something close to you and you want to get the word out, you want to market it, you want to join our Scoops family, send me a tweet, send me an email, send me a carrier pigeon. We should talk. My email is chris@scoopswithdannymac.com. You can also find me on Twitter at @CHRABE. And, you know, whatever it is, if it's a business, if it's an organization, if it's a nonprofit, I want to talk to you because I want to help you. We can help you and we can do it together. Again, get a hold of me. Shoot me a note. Send up some flares. I'll see them. And I will make sure that we get together because we're all a community. We're a community here at Scoops. We're a community here in St. Louis. Everyone knows that baseball season's the best time in this community. And you should have the best. Your message should have the best wherever you're trying to deliver it, whoever you're trying to deliver it to, and whatever it is you're trying to deliver. Join the Scoops family. Might even give you a #Scoops. Rick Gaiman with us from rickrungood.com. We inch closer to the Masters. rickrungood.com. is where you need to go right now to get all of the information, get all of the modeling, get the advantage as it comes to your golf DFS and your golf wagering. Rick Gaiman is the man behind rickrungood.com. Follow him on Twitter @rickrungood and check out First Cut Podcast, part of CBS Sports. What's going on, man? Are you suffering this week from the post WGC match play hangover that I feel like just kind of started creeping in sometime last Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah, this is an interesting week because we're just coming off of, you know, the absolute chaos that was the WGC. And then next week is the Masters, and the Valero Texas Open is sitting here like, hey guys, don't forget about us. Don't forget about me. We've got a golf tournament this week. But yes, it's I'm trying to stay focused, Chris. My eyes are moving towards Magnolia Lane. I'm starting to smell azaleas, like all that good stuff.
This is like, if not statistically and by world golf ranking, the greatest field ever. I feel like it's a really interesting field. Is that fair? And maybe a field where we can find some spots we like.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, and also with there, you know, one last stop before Augusta, there is a lot of storylines you're going to hear. You're going to hear about Ricky Fowler needing to win to get in. That's his last opportunity. Sure, he punches his ticket to the Masters. I mean, there's still so much to play for, as we see each and every week on the PGA Tour, and everything kind of gets compressed and magnified this week, you know, even leading into the Masters.
Rick Gaiman with us, rickrungood.com. And I actually want to start there, leading into the Masters, because before we actually talk about Valero, tell me what you have your eye on this week from a betting market standpoint, perhaps. Are there any spots that, if a guy gets to this point, then you're jumping on him? What do you think Brooks Koepka future backers are feeling right now if they're holding tickets? What is kind of the calm before the storm over the next couple of days? And are there any soft spots in the market or any at least places potentially that could end up soft where people should be paying attention?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that if you liked Jordan Spieth a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, you kind of missed the boat. I mean, he was like 100-1 4 months ago. Now he's 14-1. So you kind of missed out on that. If you're holding a Brooks Koepka,
unbelievable, 14-1.
Unreal. If you're holding a Brooks Koepka ticket, a future, you're probably concerned. You know, there's been a lot of conflicting reports. I don't know what are true. I've heard everything from he's out 6 to 8 months to he's taking full swings at Riviera, and I can't imagine both of those being true. So I don't know what is true, but I would start to be concerned about that. I think what we're going to get this week, though, is I don't think there's going to be much movement from here on out. You know, with DJ withdrawing from the Valero Texas Open, his number is probably locked in for Augusta. I think there's a chance that Jordan Spieth, if he plays well this week and with the money that will roll in on him during Masters week, I think he could drop another couple of points, but I don't think we're going to see any big movers outside of maybe, you know, if Corey Connors wins the Valero Texas Open, if Tony Finau wins the Valero Texas Open, those are the only guys that I think, maybe Hideki Matsuyama as well, that could move. But I think the market for the Masters is going to be somewhat consistent for the next, you know, 9, 10, 11 days, whatever it is.
Rick Gaiman is with us from rickrungood.com. And, you know, we talk, Rick, about maybe opportunities to get edges with some of the best players in the world, because it doesn't happen that often. But when it does, we want to jump on it. And it happened a few weeks ago with Justin Thomas. It happened last year with Bryson before the U.S. Open. Even if it's not a crazy number, is there right now one of those guys that fits that bill in your eyes for the Masters? Even if it's someone that's a little undervalued, that after round one or round two, I'm going to be texting you like I usually am, saying I'm such a dummy for not jumping on that.
I think that guy might be Patrick Cantlay. So I'm seeing him at 25-1, and I want to credit my colleague Kyle Porter from CBS Sports who texted me this stat. And I don't know if he's even released it yet, Chris. So I might blow his cover here, but it's such a good stat. It has to be shared with the world. Essentially, 8 of the last 10 winners of the Masters have gained at least 1.67 strokes from tee to green from January 1st to April 1st of the year that they won. All it says is guys who are hitting it well from tee to green in the year or in the couple months leading up to the Masters end up winning the Masters. There's only one guy who qualifies for that at this moment that we chat. It's Patrick Cantlay. He's shot a couple of course records already this year at Pebble Beach and at PGA West. He's been a winner on tour recently in a deep field. I mean, this to me is a really long number on a guy who is potentially a top 5 or 6 player in the world.
Whose numbers and whose odds, you know, last year and coming down the stretch, I mean, he was right there with the 10s, 11, 12s to 1s most weeks, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And he's always in contention, right? And he's not like a sexy pick. Nobody loves to go out and run to the window to get Patrick Cantlay, but time and time again, he shows up on the first page of the leaderboard, and he's been doing more winning recently, you know, getting a victory at the Zozo Championship, which is a short field. It's not, you know, it's actually kind of similar in size to the Masters. I think we've got 89 in the Masters field this year. That was probably 76 or 78 golfers. And it's top tier guys. To be able to go out and win an event like that is very encouraging. doing in a year where, and I believe that, you know, we're going to get the more traditional April conditions, a little more firm, a little more fast. I think that plays into the hands of someone like Patrick Cantlay.
All right, Rick, let's talk a little bit about the field this weekend. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, we have some potentially value. We do have, though, a couple of big names at the top. Well, when we have a Finau, a Spieth, it's kind of funny. You've got Finau, who, you know, has been hot, but can't close and has been a very polarizing figure in golf betting circles. And then Spieth, who you said is probably hotter than anyone on the planet. How do you evaluate the very top, which also includes Scottie Scheffler, Hideki Matsuyama, as well as the five players who come in above 10,000.
Yeah, that's right. And it got a little bit easier. There was news coming out on Monday. Dustin Johnson has removed himself from this field. So the highest priced player on DraftKings is gone. It kind of sent shockwaves through the betting market a little bit. Everybody else, Tony Finau, Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, Hideki Matsuyama, they all got about 2 points shorter with the news that DJ was going to skip out on the Valero and head over
Which is always interesting, Rick, when that happens after the DraftKings pricing has been set.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Because it's not going to change now, right? He's still in the field. He is still going to be listed at 11,800. And what it's going to allow you to do is two things. You're going to be able to get any guy in the $10,000 range that you want. I think most people are going to opt for Jordan Spieth. He's just been striking it beautifully. He gets to stay in Texas, his home state and play in front of a much weaker field. So I think most people are going to opt for Jordan Spieth, but you can now even make a case, Chris, to forego the entire 10K range and start your lineups in the 9K range, which is a very appealing way to build your lineups. And you're not giving up as much win equity anymore because Dustin Johnson, who had the vast majority of it, has removed himself. So it becomes, and this is like the third or fourth time we've seen this in the past couple of months, where right after the pricing comes out or right after the odds come out or whatever it is, the top player removes himself from the field, and it kind of creates a different level of strategy.
Let's make our way a little bit further down the board, Rick. And as we get into the mid-tier guys, as we get into some of the guys who, have a lot on the line to play for, especially as it pertains to Augusta, where are you looking? Who are you targeting? And, you know, what are you taking into consideration with the fact that for some of these guys, an opportunity to maybe get to the Masters, last chance?
Yeah, that's right. There's a couple of guys in the 9K range. I think course history year over year has been very, very strong here at TPC San Antonio. Someone like a Charlie Hoffman, who is not only playing well coming in despite a disastrous Sunday at Punta Cana. He finished runner up here in 2019. That's the last time we held this event. He won it in 2016. He's just been all over the top of the leaderboard. He's never missed a cut in 14 trips to the Valero. But I really like Brendan Steele. You know, he is now not missed a cut in 2021. That's eight in a row. He started off with a fourth place finish at the Sony. His most recent finish was a top 10 at the Honda. My gosh, I couldn't even think of what its name was. A third place finish at the Honda, Chris. And you know what I like about Steele is he's won this event in the past. He was the last man who did not qualify for the match play, so he was kind of on the outside looking in. He's going to be well rested. He's going to be ready to rock. And then as far as your original question, guys that need to play their way in, you know, I unfortunately for Ricky, there is little evidence that Ricky Fowler is going to be able to turn the game around and get himself into the Masters. He has to win to do that. The other guy that I think is kind of interesting is Joel Damon. He just won in Punta Cana last week, the opposite field event. And normally that would allow guys to take some time off. Well, that victory did not get him into the Masters. That is not part of the qualifications for Augusta National. So he has work to do. And he's playing well, and he can still stay motivated and laser focused for one more week and give it one more run.
Rick, how about approach this week as far as one and done is concerned? Because again, I think that sometimes, and I will admit I'm guilty to this, coming off match play with Masters ahead, maybe folks in your one and done are perhaps overlooking this a bit, but still a lot of cash that is headed somewhere to someone's bank. So how do you evaluate the field from a one and done perspective?
Yeah, absolutely right. So I think there's a couple ways to play this. You either go out and you get one of these course history guys who are playing well that you're not going to use anywhere else. I put Charlie Hoffman, Brendan Steele, Chris Kirk into that category. I think they're all fine. Ryan Palmer, even Corey Connors, our defending champion. All of those are just fine. The intriguing option for me is, what do you do with Jordan Spieth? If you're saving him, you might be saving him for next week, which is, it's okay. It's not great. I think it's okay. But now with the departure of Dustin Johnson, you get Jordan Spieth with much better and much more win equity this week. So think about it like this. Would you rather Spieth be one of the favorites in an event that's going to pay, I don't know, 1.3 million dollars to the winner, or do you want him to be in a field that might pay 2 million to the winner, but like every single one of the best players in the world is there? So like his win equity in these two events might be different. So I'm actually kind of thinking this might be a good week to be early on Spieth, run him out there, because here's the other thing. Finally, you know, I'll wrap this up with this. If Dustin Johnson was in contention, or if a lot of these guys were in contention this week, obviously DJ is gone, but like, are they looking ahead? Is this a look ahead game for them? You get no look ahead games for Jordan Spieth, who grinds over every single shot. And I will tell you this, if he is in contention on Sunday, it is all about the Valero Texas Open. This guy hasn't won since 2017. You think he's trying to end that streak? You think he's tired of hearing that sentence? Like I'm already in the midst of this. I'm convincing myself to play Jordan Spieth.
All right. I like it. I think I'm going to do the same thing. I will, going on record, I'm following Rick Gaiman's advice. You should too. And you should sign up at rickrungood.com. You can, I mean, everything. Just, you can mess around this week with all of the strokes gained data. You can go any golfer, any round back to January of 2015 on any type of green, the style, the size. I mean, it's, I need to allocate more of my day every day, Rick, to rickrungood.com, because there's just something new at every turn on your website. So
I still nerd out on it all the time. You know, I still geek out on it.
I mean, now I need to get a little bit better at then following through with what you tell me, because you are always on the mark. But, you know, and then I don't get to text you on Friday or Saturday and tell you how big of a dummy I am. So.
That's right. Those are always much welcomed. I love reading.
All right.
Those.
Jordan Spieth, one and done this week. Rick, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week for the Masters.
Thanks, Chris.
Lots of baseball tomorrow. Lots of baseball moving forward. Major League Baseball starts tomorrow. I'm excited to talk about it. Hope you are too. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast. Don't forget, same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, this has been the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Chris Raby saying, be nice to each other, and as always, peace.